Okay, today's daf is Erevin daf Pei Ches, which is the last daf of the 8th parak of Maseches Erevin. We'll see if we get all the way to the end or not. We left off on the bottom with three things that Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya was matir for the Anshei Tveria. After we get through discussing those three items that he was matir for the Anshei Tveria, we're going to have two versions of Rabbi Bar Rav Huna's opinion about pouring water out of a balcony into water below on Shabbos, meaning we've been talking a lot about drawing water in to your balcony on Shabbos. We haven't talked much about getting rid of water on Shabbos. And then the final Gemara before the Mishnah is going to discuss whether a person who uses somebody else's property more frequently than the real owner uses it, but the person who uses it more frequently uses it without permission, does he need an Erev in order to carry in that property? Does he need to join in the Erev? The Mishnah discusses disposing of wastewater and distinguishes between chatzeros of different sizes and whether they have sizable cesspool to pour the water into. And then the parak concludes with a discussion of whether people from one balcony can make use of a cesspool built by residents of another balcony in the same chatzer when they don't have an Erev that joins the two balconies together. So that's the outline of what we're going to try to cover today. So we left off again a few lines from the bottom yesterday. We said Gimel Devarim Hiter Tana Rabbanan Gimel Devarim Hiter Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya L'Anshei Tveria. There were three things that Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya was matir for the Anshei Tveria. Number one was what we learned about yesterday, that Memalin Mayim Migzus Tera B'Shabbos, that you're allowed to fill up water from a gzustra, from a balcony on Shabbos. Number two, v'tomnin be'itza, you're allowed to insulate things or to hide things in eitza, which we'll see what that means. And number three, mistapkin ba'alontis, you could dry off with a towel. So malamayim gzustra b'Shabbos hadiyamim. The first one we already discussed yesterday. V'tomnin be'itza mahi, what is this tomnin be'itza halacha? What's this about? The Tanya, the Brisa says as follows: Hishkim lahavi psolas. So if your person goes out early to gather stalks from the field because he wants dafka that they should still be moist with dew, so then it's b'chiyutan. What's the halach of b'chiyutan? So the Torah tells us that in order for something to become tame, it first needs to become hukshur l'kabal tuma. The way the Torah says that is b'chiyutan mayim al zera v'nafal min avla sama lav tame hulachem. When it's yutan al mayim, when it's placed on, when it's yutan mayim al zera, when water is placed, or water or any of the zayin mashkim, it really means, is placed on a food, and then it comes in contact with tumah, it then becomes tameh. So the Gemara has a drasha, Mishnah has a drasha, ki yutan dum yudach yitain. Even though the pronunciation is yutan, it's spelled yitain. And therefore we learn that even if the water falls on by itself, yes, it could be makshel kabel tumah, but that's only if it's dum yudach yitain. If the liquid came into contact with the food in a way that you would have that you would have wanted it that way, that you want it, that you show that you're interested in it happening. So if a person goes out of his way, dafka, to make sure that the stuff is moist, so then it becomes hukshul kabal tumah. That's why he goes out early. He obviously doesn't make the dew fall, but he dafka goes out early because he wants the moisture of the dew on these stalks, so then it becomes hukshul kabal tumah. V'im mishvil shalei yivatal mimalachto, but if the whole reason that he's going out early is not because he's interested in the moisture on the stalks, he's really just not going to have time later because he's going to be busy at work, so then it's Eino B'chiyutan. Then it's not going to be considered Hukshol L'Kabal Tumah. So the big Chiddush of Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya was that Ustam Anshei Tveria K'misha Lo Yevatel Mimalach L'Dami, that the assumption of Anshei Tveria is that Anshei Tveria are Bali Malacha. So we assume that the reason that they go out early is because shelo yivatul mimalachto, and therefore it's not machshir lekabel tuma. So so Rashi understands. So what does it mean tumnim be'etza? So when we say tumnim be'etza, it's talking about being machshir peros lekabel tuma. And the chiddush is that even though these stalks have dew on it, which is one of the zayin mashkim that are machshir ochel to be mekabel tuma, but over here it's not machshir because, as the Brisa explains, their intention was never to make sure that it has dew on it. You're not interested in the dew that's on these stalks. The Anshei Tveria were just going out to collect early because they knew that they were going to have to be at work later. But the whole issue is all hechshul lekabel tuma issue. When we say that Rabbi Chanan ben Akavi was matir, it doesn't mean he was matir any sort of iser. It meant that he held that it's not hechshur lekabel tuma, that it's not tame. However, Rabbi Chanan and the Meiri quote yesh mefarshim. They quote Rishonim that the din of tonim beitza that Rabbi Chanan ben Akavi was matir for the Anshei Tveria was the gabe hatmanas chamin on erev Shabbos. When we talk about hatmana, the first thing that comes to mind, if we play word association, hatmana, we think Hilcha Shabbos. The halach is that you're not allowed to insulate something on Erev Shabbos, even on Erev Shabbos, bedavar amosif hevel, with something that's going to add heat to the overall pot. So the din is that you're not allowed to be tomein with teven that's moist, because the Gemara in Shabbos says in Daf Mem Zayin and Beis, Lobe the Mishnah said, Lobe teven v'lobe zagim v'lobe mochim v'lobe asavim bizman shein lachin aval tomein ben kshein yivashin. Why bizman kshein lachin can't you? Because the assumption is that when they are moist, they are a dover hamosif hevel. So the chiddush is that Rabbi Chanani ben Akavi was matir to be matvin be'etza, even though it has a little bit of moisture, because that little bit of moisture is not enough that a person has kavana to actually be mosif hevel. He doesn't think that that's actually adding any substantial amount of heat whatsoever. So why would we quote a brisa that's clearly about hechsher lekabel tuma if the whole point was Rabbi Chanan ben Akavi was matir a hilcha Shabbos issue, nothing to do about hechsher lekabel tuma? So it's not because Rabbi Chanan ben Akavi was talking about hechsher lekabel tuma. It's just that we quote this as a dugma bialma, stam, an example where we find a chilik between where you're miskavin and where you're not miskavin. That just like by hechsher lekabel tuma, we have such a chilik between where a person has kavana, a person doesn't have kavana for the moisture. So over here also, when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, we have that same chiluk, whether a person has kavana for the moisture or a person does not have kavana for the moisture. The third halacha that he was making with was stapkin ba'alontis mayhi. So what was this thing about drying off with a towel? The Tanya, the Brisa says as follows: mustapik ad ba'alontis manicha b'chalon v'loyim serenelu ulyarin mibnei shechashudin aloso davar. A person can dry off with a towel and place it in a cubby. Chalon is like a little box in the wall, but loyim serenu l'ulyarin, you can't give the towel back to the bathhouse attendants because they're choshed al oso davar. We're choshed for oso davar. What's oso davar? Says Rashi, schita, that we're afraid that if they get wet towels back, they're going to start squeezing the towels out, and that's aser to do on Shabbos. So you don't want these Jewish bathhouse attendants to be squeezing out the towels on Shabbos. Rabbeinu Chananel in Masechta Shabbos in Daf Kuf Mem Zayin says no, choshed al oso davar. Also, davar is usually a reference when we say davar acher. Also, davar usually means something unmentionable, something that's not a lishna nekia to mention, something that's not appropriate to mention. We talk about things like that are dirty, that are we talk about znus, we talk about a chazer, we talk avodah zara, things that are particularly abominable, things that are particularly disgusting. Schita seems like an odd choice to refer to as also davar. So Rabbeinu Chananel says no, also davar means zima, that we're afraid if we give them the towels back, they're going to be tummy them with their shechva zera. That's the assumption. They're going to use them for their own private use, and they're going to be metami them with their shechva zera. That's the concern of Oso Davar. But in our context, it seems to fit better to assume that we're talking about schita, because that's the whole heter of what we're talking about, using them in the first place. That you're allowed to use them, and you don't have to worry about schita. You're not allowed to give them to the bathhouse attendants, because they actually might do schita on purpose. Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Shimon says you could even bring it all the way home. You don't have to just leave it in the cubby in the bathhouse. You could bring the towel all the way home, and we're not worried that you're going to come to squeeze it out when you are on the way to go back home. So the Gemara very clearly, Rabbi Chanan ben Akavi was matir the Anshei Tveria to use these towels on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and to do all these different things. Dafka and the Anshei Tveria, these three issues. Now, on the towel issue, apparently he's not worried at all about schita. Now the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Zayin and Beis says that the Chum were matir anybody to be mistapik balontas b'Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the kasha, of course, is what's the big chiddush over here? What's he adding for the Anshei Tveria that we don't always have? The Gemara in Shabbos says anyone is allowed to use a towel on Shabbos. So there are several ways to that Rishonim have to approach that kasha. kasha, and that is, and it has ramifications in the halacha. The Ran's shita, Mesecha Shabbos, is that the heter is that all, meaning the poskim are done. What's the reason for the heter to use a towel on Shabbos? Why weren't they taka gozer that it's going to be maybe the deschita? And then once we have that, maybe we'll be able to understand everything else. So the Ran explains that the heter is because everyone who takes a bath dries off afterwards. Everyone who washes their face, their hands, dries off afterwards. So if you asr using a towel, then it's going to be the same thing as asring rechitza, and that's something that ain rova tibur yichol lamud ba taasr rechitza. Meaning taasr rechitza is kol aguf. That we did. It's asr to be rechitza kol aguf. But even just your hands, your face, no one's going to be able to be omein in such a gzero. You can't tell people to wash their hands and face and not to use a towel. So the Magen Avraham in Sima Shin Aleph quotes this shita of the Ran, and he says l'chora bizman hazeh, in areas that aren't as hot, where we could go a day without washing up. So he says l'chora should be also l'stapik. But he says it could be that since the maisa, the chum, were never made such a gezerah, so we're not going to ask, or we're not going to make our own gezeros. But he says it's tov l'stapik. It's better to use a towel that you're not makbid al meimav, that you're not makbid on it being wet. Meaning if you use a towel that you don't want it to be soaked, so then it's more of a likelihood that you're going to want to squeeze it out. You're going to want to squeeze the water out of such a towel. L'choro, according to the Ran, the reason for Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya being matir to be mistapik v'alontis for the Anshei Tveria specifically was that in Rechitza b'chamin is usher everywhere else besides for Tveria. Rechitza b'tzonein is not so shchiach, and therefore the chum were able to be gozer not to be mistapik v'alontis in Tveria. So this gzeira is not a gzeira shein rova tzibri. But in Tveria, they were allowed to be rochets bechamei Tveria. So they were allowed to bathe in warm water. The Gemara says that explicitly in Shabbos Daf Mem Amud Aleph. So if you would ask them to use a towel, it would be a gzeira shein rova tzibri chol lamudba. So that's why he was dafka matir for them lihistapeg. But la halacha, we paskin, it's mutter for everybody, like the Ran says, because it's a gzeira shein rova tzibri chol lamudba for everybody. But that was Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya's thinking. He thought we can only be matir for the Anshei Tveria, because everywhere else outside of Tveria, we shouldn't be matir, because Rova Tzibri Cholon Lamudba, who washes in cold water anyway? That's all you're allowed to wash in outside of Tveria. So he didn't think it was going to be such a problem for the Rova Tzibri Cholon to be Omidba. The second reason why the Chum were not Choshesh about drying off with a towel, Shami Yavli De Schita, the Eliyahu Rabbi writes in Siman Shin Aleph, in the name of the Yireim and the Sefer Truma, that there's not enough water on a person's body and a person's face, a person's hands, to actually cause a towel to become so drenched that it's going to be Baldi De Schita. So it could be that really depends on the towel. It depends on what kind of towel a person uses, and therefore it's better to use maybe a plush towel that absorbs a lot more. A third reason, the Gruss says, over there in Shulchan Aruch, in the Bir Agra, that the reason for the heter is because stam aluntis is a stam towel is a beged that people aren't really makbid on having water in the towel. You don't mind having water in the towel. And so it would turn out, therefore, that if it is something that you are makbid about, then you, if it is a kind of towel you don't want it to get too wet, then maybe it would taka biyasir. But we're dafka talking about where it's something that people aren't makbid so much. Good, so that's the issue of using the towel on Shabbos. There is a discussion about schita b'seyar. The Gemara on Shabbos says that you're not allowed to squeeze out your hair when it's wet because it's a nirik schita. It looks like schita. It's schita midrabanan. When one squeezes out the hair, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes that if you use a towel on your hair where the water goes straight from your hair into the towel, let's say on Yantif, person uses a towel on its hair, so the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas says it doesn't look like skrita because you don't see the water leaving the hair, it goes directly into the towel, and therefore would be mutter if you dry your hair off directly with the towel. I asked Rav Schechter about that, he did not like that at all. He thought that was not at all the accepted opinion to use the towel directly on the hair. He thought that that's also included in skrita b'seyar, you're squeezing water out of your hair, whether it's visible that you're actually squeezing it and it looks like the water is dripping down or it goes into a towel, he didn't think it really made a difference. So the Gemara discusses over here a little little bit about Anshe Tveria, that they were Bali Malacha, they were involved in their Malacha all morning, and that's why they would dafka wake up early. So there are other statements in Chazal about Anshe Tveria that are somewhat interesting as well. The Gemara Maseches Megillah says that Rekes Zu Tveria, that a place called Rekes is really Tveria. Why is it called Rekes? Sha'afilu Rekanim Sheba Malaya Mitzvos Karimah, that even people who are the most empty, the most devoid of all mitzvos, are still Malaya Mitzvos Karimah, and are full of mitzvos like a pomegranate. So the Turi Evan in Maseches Megillah and Davav asked the Kasha, isn't every member of Klal Yisrael Malaya Mitzvos Karimah? How can you say Dafka the Anshe Tveria are like this? And furthermore, it's the Kedusha, if you're going to say that, it's the, why is it that the Anshei Tveria are considered to be better on a higher level? They're Malei Mitzvos Karimon more than anybody else. Why? Is it the Kedusha Yisera that they have? Well, if it was the Kedusha Yisera of the place, then there's a place that has even more Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael than Tveria does, Yerushalayim. So why aren't Anshei Yerushalayim Malei Mitzvos Karimon? It's more holy than Tveria. That's the Mishnah in Kelim, and it goes through the Eser Kedushas. Kedushas Yerushalayim is Lamala from the Kedusha of the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And the Chacham Darshan Beferish in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin, the Gemara has a drasha that all Jews are Malei Mitzvos Karimon. All Jews are even the Reikarim Shebahem are Malei Mitzvos Karimon. So what is it about Anshei Tveria? And furthermore, where do we see in the word Rekes that they're Malei Mitzvos Karimon? The word Rekes implies that they are Reikanim. That's all. It doesn't say about the Reikanim being Malei Mitzvos Karimon. So he quotes a Teret that it's called Rekas because the people are Rekanim, and because we don't want to speak about the Gnus of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore we add in that they're Afilu Rekanim or Malei Mitzvos Karimon. But what it's really saying is not that the Anshei Tveria have a Maila. It's called Rekas because the Anshei Tveria are on a lower level, that they are Rekanim. It's just we don't like to speak in such terms to say that they're Rekanim, so we say Afilu Rekanim or Malei Mitzvos Karimon. It's just a more refined way of saying that they're all Rekanim. However, in the Sefer Tabura Aretz, according to the Panini Aleph over here, in the Sefer Tabura Aretz, Perik Aleph, Os Aleph, he adds another kasha and he has a whole different biur. He says you can't say that the Gemara means Bizman She Kavash Yeshua Aretz, when Yeshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, because it's clear in the Pesukim that all the names of the places that are mentioned in Yeshua were not given Al Yidei Yisrael. They were called those names by the Goyi HaAretz. So clearly, when the Gemara darshins the name Rekes, so it has to be the name that was given at the Zman Amoraim, in the times of the Amoraim. Now in those days, Tveria was full of Chachamim v'Sofrim, so it's hard to say, like the Torah Evan wanted to say, that they're just a bunch of lowlifes. No, in the days of the Amoraim, they were wonderful. It was all Chachamim v'Sofrim in Tveria. And if you look around about Divrei Chazal, about Anshei Tveria, so you find that they're Bali Malacha, but you don't have any raya that they're Rekanim just because they're Bali Malacha. The Gedolei HaChachamim were all Bali Malacha. Everyone wanted to be Nana Miyagias Kapam. It's a modern invention that people don't like to work. It used to be something that was an honorable thing, that somebody would work for a living and would be Nana Miyagias Kapam. That's the Masorah of Chazal. So it can't be that the Anshei Tveria are a bunch of lowlife. So what is Pshat, he says? He says the Anshei Tveria are Miyuchad, are more special than the rest of Bnei Eretz Yisrael, and they are Malei Mitzvos Karimon. We're actually highlighting something very special about them. How, why is it that Anshei Tveria are more special than everyone else? So he quotes from a Chidah in Pesach Einayim, because they were Mekabel Shabbos Miba'od Yom. The Gemara in Shabbos says in Daf Kuf Yud Ches that the Anshei Tveria are Mekabel Shabbos Miba'od Yom. They bring that extra level of Kedusha into their lives. And that Zuchus of Shmir Shabbos caused them to be Malei Mitzvos Karimon. And the Chidah says that's the reason that the Shechina, the Beis Nagadol, was Nikva Baba Achrona. Rav Shechter spoke about last week that the Beis Nagadol spent time in Tveria. That was their last place. The Golos HaAchrona Shagolos HaSanhedrin. The last place the Sanhedrin went. And from there, they're going to return. Bibayishlishi. Bibahir V'yameinu. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph says they're going to go back. The Sanhedrin is going to go back to the last place it was, because it was B'schus HaShabbos that we're going to have a Geula. So we dafka have the Geula through the place where Shabbos was very special, where the people were Mekabel Shabbos Miba'od Yom. That's what he suggests. Okay, there are other suggestions in the Achronim also about what was special about Tveria, but let's see Vaitu in the Gemara now. Amar Rabbi Rav Huna Lo Shanu Ela Limmalo. So we've been discussing about filling up water from a porch. If you're on a porch, you want to fill up the water from the water that flows underneath in a carmelis. So we've been discussing building the mechitza on the porch to drop the bucket through and fill up the water. But what about pouring out water? So avalishvoch aser, to pour out water is going to be aser. Masper of Shizbi v'chima bein zelu uka. So if Shizbi says, why is this any different than an uka? We're going to see in the Mishnah later on this daf, Rashi explains. Ditnan b'masnisin, chatzer pshepchusa me'arba amos. If you have a chatzer that's less than 4x4 amos, ein shovcha l'tocha mayim b'shabes elim kein asula uka. The Mishnah is going to say later in the daf, you're not allowed to pour water out into that chatzer in Shabbos unless you make a little cesspool where the water can go, a little hole in the ground that holds two saw, and the water can go in there. So we say, even though the uka may be full miba'od yom, it may already be full and may not have room for the water you're pouring out, still you're allowed to be shofech on Shabbos, even though the water is definitely going to go out into the Rishus HaRabim. So why is it any different when you're pouring off of a porch directly into the water beneath? So says Gemara, hani taimi v'hani lo taimi. The difference is, when you have an uka, when you have the hole in the ground, it will ultimately become absorbed in the ground. So even though the uka may have been full, but since it, generally speaking, it will ultimately be absorbed in the ground, we assume your machshava is not to send the water out to the Rishus HaRabim. But when you're pouring in off of your porch to a body of water that's flowing underneath, it never gets absorbed in the ground. It's a continuously flowing body of water, and therefore clearly your intention is that the water should continue to flow out to the Rishus HaRabim. That's the difference. Ikada Amri, another version of what Rab Baruch Huna says, is that Rab Baruch Huna lo tema lemalos hu deshari lishpoch aser el lishpoch nami shari. Not that he came to aser pouring out the water. He said that it's mutter to pour out the water. Amrav shizib pshita hainu uka. So then the Gemara's comment was, of course it's mutter. That's exactly the same thing as the uka, as the cesspool that you're allowed to pour into, when that you're allowed to pour water into your chatzar, as long as you have this hole in the ground in your chatzar. So the Gemara answered, no. I might have thought to distinguish between when it gets absorbed in the ground and when it doesn't. Kamash Malan, no such distinction is made. So the Mishnah said that if you have two balconies, one higher than the other, they have to join in a single layer in order to be able to draw water from the upper one. The fact that they're not joined in an eruv means that neither of them are allowed to draw the water, neither of them are allowed to use it, because the ishtamshus of the other guy asers on them unless they join in an eruv. That's only if the bottom porch is within four tefachim side by laterally of the top porch. But if it's not within four tefachim, if it's mufleges, then the elyon is mutter, because the bottom one is not considered to have real ishtamshus. And this Rav Lishitasa, which we already saw that he can't, person, I think it was on Shabbos enough, person can aser al chavero derech avir when his ishtamshus involves throwing something across for tvachim, so that level of ishtamshus is not going to aser on the other party. Amar Rabbi Chia, Rav Yosef, Amar Rabbi Oshia, Yesh Gezel b'Shabbes v'Chur v'Machzir l'Bailim. So it sounds like two separate statements. We're saying Yesh Gezel b'Shabbes. Rashi says the assumption of what that means is that you're allowed to be gozel on Shabbos Rishuyos that don't belong to you, and to use someone else's churva, let's say, that's near your house. So if you, just like you use it during the week, meaning if a person uses someone else's property without permission throughout the course of the week, so you're not allowed to do that, but a person does that, so that level of ishtamshus is assumed to still be there on Shabbos, and therefore his ishtamshus, even though he has no permission to use it, his ishtamshus is going to ask from the person who really owns it, because you have someone else who's not joined in an eruv with you who's been using this property. However, v'chur v'machzir l'baylim. The next line says v'chur v'machzir l'baylim sounds like that because of that the Yisr Shabbos, it goes back dafka to the rishus of the bailim, and the yishtamshus of the person who's using it without permission has no impact. So says Gemara Hagufa Kasha. That means the two statements are a direct stira. Amrit Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos Al Makanya. Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos sounds like that you make some sort of kinyan gzela over here, that by using it all the time, you are considered to be one of the you are considered to have yishtamshus of that area. V'chorva Machzor L'Bailim Al Malo Kanya. But then you say Chorva Machzor L'Bailim sounds like it doesn't do anything. So Achi Kamar Yesh Din Gezel B'Shabbos. When we say Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos, it doesn't mean that you do have Hishtamshus. It means it has a din of Gezel. The din of Gezel is that when you stole something, you need to return it. So it has a din Gezel B'Shabbos, that if you've been using this property throughout the course of the week, well, on Shabbos, it's no longer your Hishtamshus. It needs to be returned. How so? Churva Machzor L'Bailim. Make sure that it remains. We view it halachically as being purely in the Rishus of the Bailim. Amar Rabbah Musfinin Hashmaitin. And we can ask the But l'chora, that seems to be against what we just said. V'chein shtei gzustro zulam alamizu. We spoke about two balconies, one above the other, and we say the ishtamshus of the lower balcony in the upper balcony asers the usage of the people in the upper balcony. V'iamrit yeshtin gezel b'shabbos amayasuros. Whoever gave the lower balcony permission to use the upper balcony, why should their ishtamshus of the upper balcony cause any iser? They don't have permission to use it. Some rav shesha sacham ayaskim gon shasu mechitza b'shutvos. Now the case is that they helped pay for the mechitza that they made in the upper balcony. So if they helped pay for that mechitza, then clearly they do have permission to use it if they help pay for the mechitza that's in the upper balcony. Ihachi kiyasul tachtonu nami. So says Gemara, but then even if they made a mechitza in the lower balcony, it should still aser because they helped pay for the mechitza in the upper balcony. Says Gemara, now kibun dasul tachtona. Gully daita ta naba adach lo nichalach. When they make their own mechitza in the lower balcony, it's as if they are saying explicitly that they're not interested in the upper balcony, that they don't want any piece of what's going on in the upper balcony. The Torah writes in Siman Shin Nun Hey, v'cheinu masu b'shteihen b'shutfus mishal shteihen ein achas l'seres al chavirta. What if both the upper balconies mechitzos and the lower balconies mechitzos are made b'shutfus? Both members of both balconies pay for both of them together. So would you say at that point that it's not a siluk? Meaning, what are we saying over here? If they joined b'shutfus in the walls of the upper balcony, so they're saying we're members of that upper balcony. We have ishtamshus. And if then the people in the lower balcony build their own wall around their own balcony, they're saying, okay, we give it up. We don't need it anymore. We're fine now with our own mechitzos. But what if the bottom balcony's walls were also made b'shutfus? Is that also a siluk? Are they still also saying, we no longer are going to be mishtamish in the upper balcony? So the Torah says that, yeah, that's also a siluk. So the Beis Yosef explains, why is it? Meaning, Beis Yosef is bothered. Why would they pay for it b'shutfus then? If it's purely the walls of the lower balcony and they're being misalik themselves from the upper balcony, then why would people in the upper balcony pay for it? So he says, pashtus is what the Torah means, is that when you order things in bulk, you get a better deal. So if you're going to hire a guy to build walls, so if you want to build a fence, you get your neighbor to do it with you, so you'll get a better deal if you pay for it together. So that's what they were doing. They were just it was really the upper balcony wanted their own walls, the lower balcony wanted their own walls, but they paid for it together. They paid for the whole thing together because that was just the cheaper deal. That's how the Beis Yosef explains the shita of the tour. Okay, says the Mishnah. Chatzar shepchusa me'arba amos ein shofach mitoch ha'mayim b'shabbos alam kenosla uka machzekas sasayim min ha'nekev l'mata bein mi b'chutz bein mi b'fnim. The halacha is if you have a chatzar that's less than 4x4 amos, you're not allowed to pour wastewater into that chatzar on Shabbos unless there's a hole in the ground that can hold two saw from the drain pipe and below. Whether that hole in the ground is on inside the chatzar or just outside the chatzar, either way it's fine. The only thing is, if that hole in the ground is outside the chatzar, you need to cover it over. And that way it becomes a makum p'tur, so you're only schlepping the water out from a rishus yachad to a makum p'tur, that would be fine. If it's inside the chatzar, you don't need to cover it over because it's part of the rishus yachad anyway. So then it will be fine anyhow. So this is true, even though the uka, this little pool, may become full and overflow into the rishus rabim, but since you have it there, your kavanah is that really should end up there. that really it should end up in this little pool. Right? That's when your chatzer is less than 4x4 amos. When the chatzer is more than 4x4 amos, then you're allowed to pour directly into the chatzer, even though it will ultimately flow into the Rosh Hashanah, and we'll see why in the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar, Rabbiv Shu Kamor, Arba Amos per Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Shofchum Letochum Mayim B'Shabbos. If you have a pipe that flows out in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and the first four amos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim are covered, that pipe is covered, so then you're allowed to pour out as much as you want on Shabbos. V'chamram mafilu gago chatzer mea ama lo yishpach al pi abiv, aval shovichu legag v'amayim yordin lebiv. So the Chum say, no, you're never allowed to pour directly into a pipe, even if it's 100 amos and it's covered by a, it doesn't matter, you're never allowed to pour out into a pipe directly, but you could pour onto your roof and the water will itself drain out into the pipe. You need to make it a little more indirect. Hachatzer v'achsadra mitstar from the arba amos. A chatzer and achsadra that are near each other could be mitstari for the shear of dalet amos that we're talking about, that you need dalet amos in order to be able to pour. V'chein shtei diutaos zu keneged zu. Miktsasin asu uka, miktsasin lo asu uka, esha asu uka mutar, esha lo asa uka asurim. So also, if you have two alios and a chatzer that's less than four amos in front of the two alios that you pour the water into, but miktsasin, people of one of these aliyos made an uka in the chatzer, and the other one didn't make an uka, didn't make this hole in the ground in the chatzer, didn't make this cesspool in the chatzer, so the ones that made the uka are allowed to pour the water out, the ones that did not are not allowed to pour the water out. My time, I asked the Gemara, why is it that a chatzer that's less than dalet amos is also, but more than dalet amos, you're allowed to pour things into. What is it about more than dalet amos that makes it okay? So I'm a rabbi, meisha adam masu listapik sasayim mayim b'chol yom ba'arba amos adam rotsa lezalfan. Pachos midalid shovchan. So the generally speaking, a person uses two sa of water a day. We assume that's how much wastewater he has. And Chazal figured out that typically speaking, that amount of water will be mezalif in area that's dalid al dalid amos. What does it mean to be mezalif? So when they had dirt floors, a lot of times they would want to sprinkle water on the floors like they do by the baseball stadiums. They water the dirt. I went to a baseball game with the yeshiva last week, and one of the talmidim is a soccer fan. I don't know, he's from Europe or something. He never saw a baseball game. He's like, why are they watering dirt? So they water the dirt. So it's this Gemara. They water the dirt so that the dirt not fly up every 2 seconds. They want every time a small breeze comes, it holds the dirt down. So the amount of water that you would use, based as a sasayim of water for a dalet al dalet amos, is the amount that you're allowed to pour out on Shabbos, because that's how much you want to stay in the chatzer. You're not interested in it going out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but pachos midalet, if the chatzer is less than dalet amos, shovcha, then you'd spill it out, then it's not royal mezalif. It's not an area that you would want to be mezalif with mayim. So idav uka shari lo asa. So then you would need an uka in order to make a mutter. You need that hole in the ground, that cesspool, in order to make a mutter to pour the water out. Rabbi Zeira amar dalet amos taimi, Rabbi Zeira says, no, it's not about what's a respectable area to be mezalif, that you would only be mezalif in areas dalet al dalet amos. No, it's about how much the ground could absorb. 4 amos by 4 amos could absorb a lot. Less than that can't absorb all that much. That's the explanation. So my benayil, what's the nafkamina between the two explanations? Says Gemara, Amar Abayi arich v'katanika benayu. If it's long and narrow, that's the nafkamina. How is that a nafkamina? So Rashi explains the nafkamina as follows: that Abaye is metarit that the chiluk between him and Rabba, the chiluk between Rabba and Rabbi Zeira is that a chatzah that has 4 amos squared, but it's not 4x4 amos. Meaning it's 2 amos by 8 amos. Let's say so. In that case, it has enough area to be balea 2 sa'a of water. So it has the shear of dalet amos. For what Rabbi Zeira said, that it's tiny, that it would be able to absorb that amount of water. But according to Rabba, it would still be usur to be shofech into such a chater, because unless you have an uka, because it's still not a respectable area. It would only be a respectable area if it were 4x4 amos. That's how Rashi explains. However, Rabbeinu Hai, Rabbeinu Hananel, the Ravid, all say that no, arich v'katin does not mean that it's 2 amos by 8 amos. It means it's 2 amos by 4 amos. It means that instead of being 4 by 4 amos, it's 4 amos by less than 4 amos. And the chiluk is between Rabbah and Rabbi Zeira is that a chatzah is 4 amos by less than 4 amos. According to Rabbah, it's also to spill water into it because it's not ra'ui for zilif. According to Rabbi Zeira, it's mutter to pour water into it because it could still absorb all that water. So all of the Rishonim are bothered by that. What do you mean it could still absorb all that water? It's less ground. How can it still absorb all of that water? So that's the Rishonim all say that Rashi is the more correct approach. And the Achronim try to figure out, try to justify what in the world the Ravid and these other Rishonim that assume that it could even be less than 4 by 4, what they might be talking about. What their kavana might have been. There is a discussion. This idea of aruch v'katin not only comes up over here by dalet amos in the chatzer. This comes up in Hilchus Mezuzah. The Rambam and some of the Achronim bring a raya from our sugya for what the halacha should be in Hilchus Mezuzah. The Rambam writes in the sixth parak of Hilchus Mezuzah that a bayis she'in lo arba amos al arba amos patur min a mezuzah v'im yesh bo kedei l'raveya arba amos al arba amos b'shava. For sure, a rectangular room hold the Yeshbel Raveya Arba al Arba Amos Chayiv b'Mezuzah. Since it has 16 square Amos, it's Chayiv b'Mezuzah. As long as it's 16 square Amos, that's all you need for it to be Chayiv b'Mezuzah. So according to the Rambam, 8 Amos by 2 Amos Chayiv b'Mezuzah. That's Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Reish Pei Vav in Yoredeya. However, the Shach in Sifkat Chav Gimel quotes that the Rosh Rabbi Yeruchim disagree, and they say it's not chayiv mezuzah unless it's 4 amos by 4 amos, and therefore the Shach recommends you put a mezuzah up without a bracha. This happens a lot with walk-in closets that it may not be 4 amos wide; it's 4 amos, it's whatever it is, it's 16 square amos, but very often not 4 amos in each direction. So the halach is it's still chayiv mezuzah, but without a bracha, or you make a bracha. More likely, you make a bracha on one of the other mezuzahs that you're putting up in the house, and have that bracha. Work for this as well. The Marsham in a Chuvin Chelik Aleph Siman Ayin Aleph says that the Kasha and the Rambam is from our Gemara. That our Gemara we'll see in a second. We'll see the Kasha in a second. Now that we know the Shitas Rambam, let's see the Gemara Vayte. So Tanan. Chatzar v'achsadra mitstar from the Dalet Amos. Our Mishnah said that the chatzar and the achsadra couldn't be mitstari for the shear of Dalet Amos. So Bishlam, the Rabbi Zeira Nicha, El Rabbi Kasha. So that makes plenty of sense according to Rabbi Zeira that the idea is that as long as there's enough space for the water to be absorbed, so you have it. But according to Rabbi, that it's got to be a respectable area, and if it's oddly shaped, it's not a respectable area, well then the chatzar and achsadra together is certainly oddly shaped. So Tirgum Rabbi Zeira, Alibi de Rabba, so Rabbi Zeira, interestingly, defends Rabbah's opinion. He stands up for Rabbah, even though he disagrees with Rabbah. The Mishnah may have been speaking about where the Achsadra and the Chatzar are not oddly shaped, meaning the Achsadra runs along the full length of the Chatzar, and therefore it actually forms a perfect square. So that's why it's still considered to be the type of respectable area that you would be Mezalev. Tashma, another Raya. Chatzar Shein Badalar Amos Al Dalar Amos Ein Shovchon Letochem Mayim B'Shabbos. If you have a chatzah, it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, you're not allowed to pour water into it on Shabbos. So Bishlam el Rabbi Nicha el Rabbi Zeira Kasha. According to Rabbah, it works out very well. According to Rabbi Zeira, it says Ein bo dalet amos al dalet amos. Sounds like it dafka needs to be dalet amos in each direction. How can you, Rabbi Zeira, say that it's okay if it's 2 amos in one direction and 8 amos in the other direction? It says in the Braisa dalet amos al dalet amos. So I'm looking at Rabbi Zeira. How many rabbanim he? Masis Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Yeah, it's a machlokes tanaim. Our mission is going to assume like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The rabbanim Einochinami argue that it has to dafka be 4 amos in each direction. It is this kasha on Rabbi Zeira that the Marsham says is a major kasha on the Rambam. Because the Gemara makes the assumption that when it says Arba Amos al Arba Amos, it means a chatzar meruva as dafka. It means that it needs dafka 4 amos in either direction. And it does not mean 8 amos by 2 amos. So when it says in regards to Hilchus Mezuzah, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Gimel, says that a bayis she'ein bo Arba Amos al Arba Amos is Pater mi Mezuzah. Well, if the Gemara makes the assumption that whenever a Braisa says Arba Amos al Arba Amos, it means that it's got to be Arba Amos in each direction, so then what's the Rambam going to do? Why does the Rambam say that by Mezuzah it only needs to be 8 Amos by 2 Amos? That's the Kasha the Marsham raises on the Rambam. Okay, but anyway, says the Gemara, so Rabbi Zeira says that our Mishnah is assuming like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that 8 Amos by 2 Amos is is I'm sorry, that four amos by four amos is how did it go? That Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that the reason is because of sheer makom lebliya, that you need enough space for it to absorb, and that you even have when it's 8 amos by 2 amos. So my duchki de Rabbi Zera lukum el masnisuk Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So what forced him to say that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Amarav masnisin kashise. It was something in the Mishnah that forced him to say that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. My ear yudetani chatzur shibchusa. Because if it wanted to give an example of a chatzah that you're not allowed to pour the water into, why does it have to say a chatzah that's less than 4 amos? Why not just say the chatzah has less than 4 by 4 amos, that the chatzah is 8 amos by 2 amos, or something like that, and it would be aser. So it must be that he holds that in that case it would be okay to pour the water into. So that's how we know that the mission is going with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. I've made the safe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Reisha Lav Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But how can you say our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the beginning of the Mishnah? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is then later quoted in the Mishnah, implying that up until that point, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was not speaking. So says Mar Kula Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi v'chsura mechsura. Now the entire Mishnah is really Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and it's just you have to add in a few words. V'achi katani. This is how the Mishnah should read. Chatzar shibchusa midal ramos ain't chovchum natocha mayim b'shabbos. Chatzar is less than 4 amos. You're not allowed to pour water out into on Shabbos. Hadal ramos shovchin. Sounds like if it is 4 amos, you are allowed to pour into it. Sher Elazar ben Yaakov Omer biv hakomer dal ramos brishus ram shovchum natocha mayim b'shabbos. That a biv hakomer, a biv that a pipe that's covered 4 amos in the brishus ramim, you're allowed to pour water into on Shabbos. So in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the one that holds that they could pour water into a drain that runs from a chatzar into a shram as long as it's covered in the first four amos. Good. So says the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov on bivakamru. So masnisin deloke chananya. The Gemara says, wait a second. It seems that our mission is against Chananya. Why? What did Chananya say? Detanya Chananya Omer afilu gag meya ama lo yishboch lefisha ena gag osi levloa el kaleach. That even if the gag, even if a roof is 100 amos long, still you're not allowed to pour onto the roof because it doesn't absorb anything. Everything flows right out from it. So that's it. But in our Mishnah it said that you're allowed to pour directly onto the roof and then let it flow. That's considered indirect. So Tana b'medvar mamurim b'yimos hachama. So we were taught that that's only during the summertime. Av b'yimos hageshamim. That we're only limited to using a cesspool in the summertime. But in the wintertime you can pour as much as you want and you don't have to worry about it. My time, Adam rotsa shivlu mayim b'mekomun. You really want the water to be absorbed right there on the spot. But what about the shofchin, the water that you're spilling out, where we say a person also would want it to be absorbed on the spot, and still says you're not allowed to pour it out? So what are you worried about over there? If you're worried about that the chatzer is going to be destroyed, well, it's destroyed anyway, because it's wintertime. And if you're worried about people are going to think that your gutters are pouring out water, that you must be pouring water on purpose out of your chatzer, well, it's wintertime. Everything is flowing water because it's a rainy season. So you don't have to worry about what people are going to think either. Amr of Nachman view Mosa Geshamim Uka Machsik Sasayim Nosan Los Sasayim Machsik Sa Nosan Los Sa. In the wintertime, if the cesspool can hold 2 sa of water, then you could put 2 sa of water in it. If it could only hold 1, then you put 1 sa. V'yimos hachama, in the summertime, machzik sasayim nosno sasayim, sa enos no kalikr. But in the summertime, if it could hold sasayim, you could put 2 sasayim. If it could hold only 1 sa, can't put anything in it. So v'yimos hachama, nami machzik sa, nesav le sa. So I asked the Gemara, why is that? That doesn't make any sense. If there's room for a sa in the hole in the ground, in your chatzar, why can't you pour a saw of water in it? We're afraid that you're going to put sasayim into it. We should make the same gzera in Yimos HaGesham Nami Ligzar. geshamim. Now, hasam may nechushla, nivasa geshamim, there's nothing to be worried about. Imishum kilkul hamakalkul v'kaima. If you're worried about that it's going to destroy the chatzar, it's already destroyed anyway. Imishum gzereshem yormu tzinoros shalploni mekalech mayim, stam tzinoros mekalchenein. And if you're worried about that people are going to think that, oh, look, there's water flowing out of his pipes, well, every chatzar has that because it rains a lot. Amar Abai, hilka chafilu kor v'afilu karayim. Therefore, there's no limit to what you're allowed to pour. So essentially, the Gemara quoted two versions of how a brisa applies the heter to pour water. First version was that it was dafka, we're only limited to using a cesspool in the summertime, where people who see the water gushing out of his gutters will think you can always pour the water. But in the rainy season, all gutters are gushing water, nobody's going to think anything. And the second version is that in the rainy season, we can pour the amount of water that corresponds to the available space in the cesspool. But in the summertime, we can't pour any amount of water into the cesspool unless there's space for a full two sa'a, because we're worried that people will pour two sa'a into it. The chen shtei yutalos zu keneged zu. The Mishnah said if two balconies overlook the same chatzar and the residents of one balcony made a cesspool, the residents of the other balcony cannot pour things into that cesspool. Amar Rava afilu irvu, even if they have an eruv. Amar Rabbi in my taima ilay mishum nefishi demaya. If you're worried that there's going to be just too much water, vatanya achas liyuka vachas ligistra bricha vareva afu pishin esmalu mayim erev shabbos shoklun tochem mayim b'shabbos. Doesn't matter how small the hole is and how much water there is, you can pour as much water as you want in. Eli yitmar hach yitmar. Amar Rava lo shonu lo shalo irvu aval irvu mutarin. No, Rava's comment was that it's only a problem if they didn't make an eruv. If they did make an eruv, it's okay. V'chilo yirvu maitai melo. If they didn't make an eruv, what's the problem? Why can't the people from the balcony who didn't make the cesspool, why can't they pour into it? So Amar Rav Ashi gzeru del masi lafuke mimani debati lahasam. That we're afraid people are going to carry, may bring out the wastewater in kalim to the cesspool, and that's going to be in violation of carrying without an eruv. That's why we have an issue with it being done without an eruv. Hajim lachesim shtatim, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will begin the ninth parak of Erevin.